And I am a consultant at Ryan representing the property owner.
Your name is Taylor Smith, is that correct? Could you say, can you hear him?
No, sounds very muffled.
Can you hear now? Mr. Smith? Can you speak a little louder there?
Yeah, I don't think that.
Louder, is this better?
Oh, that's, oh, much better, yes. Can you hear him now?
Yes.
Would you like to come up to this area?
It's not that I can't hear him, it's that it sounds like he keeps putting his hand over his microphone. It goes muffled and then it goes normal. Melissa Cullen, Property Appraiser's Office.
Doug Mack with the Property Appraiser's Office.
Hold on, we have a technical difficulty here. Sorry for the delay, Mr. Smith. We have a little technical difficulty here. Can you hear me? Is that better? Okay. All right.
Yes.
All right. Mr. Smith and Ms. Cullen, Mr. Mack, could you raise your right hand, solemn swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
I do.
Mrs. Smith? Do you take the oath, Mr. Smith?
Yeah.
I cannot hear you. You're muffling again. I hear you say yes, but you're still muffled. Can you, get closer to the speaker?
Yes, sir.
With that, I can hear you now. Okay, if you can be like that, I appreciate it. Are you familiar with the opening statement of the special magistrate, Mr. Smith?
No, I am not.
All right. Let me read it. The special magistrate is an independent, impartial, and unbiased hearing officer. The special magistrate does not work for the property appraiser nor the tax collector. He is independent. He or she is independent of the property appraiser and tax collector and is not influenced by the property appraiser or tax collector. The hearing will be conducted in an orderly, fair, and unbiased manner. The law does not allow the special magistrate to review any evidence unless it is presented on a record at the hearing or presented upon agreement of the parties while the record is open. The law requires a special magistrate to evaluate the relevance and credibility of the evidence in deciding the results of the petition. Okay, that's, you understand my position then as special magistrate, correct? Thank you. Again, I can't conduct this meeting unless I hear you plainly. You're coming in muffled, in and out. Can you
try something?
Okay, great. You're sounding better at this particular point. Right. We're going to let the property appraiser present their evidence, and then we'll cover what you have presented. But the clerk has not received any evidence as requested.
There should be evidence from my end submitted to the property appraiser beforehand. I confirmed as well.
This is Melissa Cullen. The clerk's office, as well as the property appraiser's office, notifies the petitioners of the proper exchange of evidence. The petitioner sent his evidence to us. We confirmed receipt. He did not request in writing the property appraiser's evidence be sent to him. We did not send it. I received evidence from the petitioner, but it is not our responsibility to provide it to the special magistrate for
That's
you.
That's fine. I know I haven't received evidence from them, but I just wanted to be
because
known
you
that
didn't
I
request
evidence
in writing.
I understand. The proper Ms. Cullen indicated that they did not submit any evidence to your client or whoever was supposed to be sent to, and the evidence from the petitioner went to the property appraiser, not to the clerk of the circuit court or for the VAB. And therefore, I cannot accept any evidence that was submitted to the property appraiser. It has to be to the VAB, and that's
Okay.
You've you're notified of that in writing, so...
That's fine. I'll just work off of my notes then.
Okay, very good. Okay, we're going to let... Ms. Cullen, you going to handle this hearing, or is Mr. Mack handling it?
Mr. Mack is going to present. However, I am able to send the petitioner our evidence packet just as if he would be sitting here and I would hand it to him. I can send it through email.
All right. We'll let the property appraiser representative present their evidence first. Mr. Smith. And then we'll allow you to verbally present some information and evidence that I may have to consider. Okay, please proceed.
That's fine.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Cullen just sent the email to the petitioner, so he will have our packet by email.
Okay. Did you hear that?
Yes, I did.
Okay, good. Okay, very good. Thank you very much. Okay, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Magistrate. This is petition 2021-167. It's for a 7-Eleven gas station, and the parcel number for that particular location is R26-422-18-0000-0400-0051. The key number is 1401334.
Ma'am, you don't have to go through the key. Parcel is sufficient.
This is a retail convenience store with gas diesel. It was built and has an effective age from 2000. It's 2,940 leasable square feet and 3,048 gross square feet. If you'll turn to page 1, you'll see the subject's property record card. On page 4 through page 6, we have aerial and street level photos of the subject. On page 9 through page 14, we have comparable sales maps and photos of the comparables that were used in our packet. On page 16, we have our comparable improved sales grid. We used 5 sales located in Hillsborough and Hernando counties, with effective ages ranging from 1978 to 2005. They had leasable square footage between 1,956 square feet and 3,850 square feet. These sales took place between February of 2017 and November of 2019, with a price per leasable square foot ranging from $487.65 to $757.56 square feet. Cents per square feet. We made, on page 17, we made adjustments for the time of sale. We made secondary adjustments concerning location, age and condition, quality and design, size, land to building ratio, and occupancy. We had an adjusted price per leasable square foot ranging from $517.54 to $916.48. We reconciled at $715 per leasable square foot for a final value on the sales comparison approach of $2,102,100. If you'll turn to page 20, we have the maps and photos of the rentals that we were used. That runs through page 26. And on page 28, we have our comparable rentals chart. You'll see that we used 5 rentals that were all 7-Elevens. They were located in Orange, Pinellas, Seminole, Hernando, and Hillsborough counties. They had effective ages from 1999 to 2019, with leasable square footages ranging from 2,700 square feet to 3,166 square feet. These were all actual leases that we had data on, and the unadjusted rent rate per leasable square foot was $68.34 to $95.08 per leasable square foot. On the next page, you'll see that these were either absolute net or triple net lease structures. We made adjustments on the triple net lease to equate them to an absolute net lease basis. We made secondary adjustments for location, age, condition, quality and design, size and land to building ratio to have a rental rate range between $68.34 per leasable square foot and $78.69. And we reconciled to $72.50 per leasable square foot. If you will turn to page 38, we have our direct cap for the fee simple basis. Using the 2,940 leasable square feet at $72.50, we came up with a PGI of $222,603. We allowed for a 3% vacancy, giving us effective gross income of $215,925. After using 9.38% in expenses, or $6.89 per square foot, we ended up with a net operating income of $195,676. We used an 8% cap rate and we loaded it with the millage rate, giving us a loaded cap rate of 9.57% for a final value of $2,045,441. Excuse me. The 8 criteria were considered in the analysis of this subject. The value of the subject from sales comparison is $2,102,100, and from the income approach was $2,045,441. Primary weight was placed on the sales comparison approach with secondary weight on the income approach. Therefore, the as-is fee simple market value of the subject as of January 1st, 2021 was $2,090,768. If you will turn to page 40, you'll see If you'll turn to page 40, the subject sales use tax data reported by to the state shows in 2019, the location had $2,176,008.55 in sales. In 2020, they had $3,196,620.70 in sales. For a increase in gross sales of $1,020,611.52, or 46.9% increase from 2019 to 2020. And way in the back of the packet on page 94, I've included an article from Net Lease Advisor website for 7-Eleven. You'll see that the average on page 96, the average sale price for a 7-Eleven, and I believe this is company-wide, is $4,570,000. And the average cap rate trend for this for 7-Eleven is at 4.6% for 2021, down from 4.9% in 2020. And that's everything I have.
And you used an 8% cap.
And I used an 8% and loaded it, yes, sir. Excuse me.
Mr. Smith, could you proceed with
yes,
your
sir.
Testimony? Thank you very much.
Okay, good morning. I apologize for the snafu of evidence on my end, but I will go ahead and just read off of what I have put together here. Essentially, there's a difference of opinion on total value from a cost approach perspective. Using figures from Marshall and Swift, I am seeing a depreciation amount of 32%, which equates to a main improvement value of $234,515, with paving and concrete $35,326 and the canopy value $31,546, with the existing land value of the notified totaling to $708,400 for an approach from the cost perspective.
Excuse me, sir. Is that for the just for the improvements or land? The 708,000?
From my cost approach, the total improvements, $301,386. The land value, I'm using their land value of $406,972, which is a total of $708,400.
Okay, thank you.
For a cost approach. And then at the time, I used market data from CoStar, and from just a simple pro forma income approach, I used $22 for the rental rate, a 4% vacancy, and expenses of 10% of an effective gross income of $2110 for the rent, or $2110 a foot for an effective gross income. That's an NOI of $19 a foot, and I used a 6.75 total cap rate, and that's suggesting a value of $827,600 from an income approach using market data pulled from CoStar for the Hernando County submarket retail.
Okay.
And it would probably be more helpful if you had something to look on, but again, I apologize. So overall, my cost approach, $708,400. My income workup,
$827,600. Okay. All right. May I suggest in the future, if you do send in evidence, please address it to the VAB, okay? That way I can have hard copy, okay?
Of course, yes. My mistake.
No, it happens. It happens. You're not the only one that this happened to. Okay. Ms. Cullen, you're going to handle this?
Yes, I wanted to bring something up. And just so the petitioner knows, again, our office and the clerk does tell you how to handle the evidence. But further, I know that the magistrate does not have copies of the evidence, but when you look at a cost approach and an income approach, on his cost approach and income approach, he breaks out the total improvement value and the land value. He utilized our land value in both instances of $406,972.
Yeah.
In the cost approach, his improvement value was $301,386, and in the income, he's showing an improvement value of $420,628. What concerns me is when you have an improvement value that is very close to your land value, or in the case of the cost approach, less than your land value, that indicates that that structure is beyond its life and should be demolished. And with the fact that this was constructed in 2000, and I actually stopped there several times a week and get gas on my way in the morning, that's not the case. So I want to bring that up. That right there just shows that this cost and income approach, in my opinion, doesn't hold much weight. And then I'll let Mr. Mack continue.
Well, she's got me beat on driving by it every day, that's for sure. And if I spoke out of turn, I apologize.
No,
but
Mr. Mack, you wrapped
nothing
up.
Further from my end, except I think the depreciation amount being applied from the cost approach on their end is insufficient. And there's some differentiation between their market numbers and ours. But this is a Hernando County submarket that I pulled data from. So if the board could just consider my testimony, since I failed to provide a copy of the evidence, that's all I'm requesting.
Okay, thank you.
And also, I have one quick question. I have my notary on the line, as I thought I was supposed to have one to begin the hearing. Is that not necessary?
Okay, Hold on one second.
Yes, sir. As long as the notary just can verify that you are who you say you are and they fill out that form, then they'll send it to me. They don't have to stay any longer if they don't.
Okay. Does she need to confirm my identity real quick before she departs?
Just on that form. You're okay. Already under
okay.
Oath,
so she's. Okay. Sounds good. All right. Thank you, Whitney.
Okay. Thank you. End of this petition. Okay.